Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. We need $30,000 to keep Bob Enyart broadcasting for another year, so I'm asking you to help us. Give us a call right now at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. Or go to the kgov.com website. Click on the store. Look at the subscriptions. Take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free Bob Enyart topical video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more. Get a free video. Our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. So pick up the phone now. Call 800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Fred Williams is on assignment. A study at the University of Missouri, researchers are arguing that plants have intelligence and that they do not like being eaten. Apparently, plants don't like being eaten. Now, take that, PETA. Take that. PETA is the animal rights, people eating tasty animals. And this study was carried out on, what was it carried out on, broccoli? What did they say? It's hard to take it seriously, but it was carried out on thale cress. Whenever we go to the right kind of restaurant, we order a vegan pizza with cheese and sausage. And typically, the waitress will say, that's really the best way to have those. That's just fun. Okay, remember 2 weeks ago here on Real Science Radio, Fred Williams and I made a prediction, and the confirmation of our science predictions keep rolling in. We have Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye, the science guy, saying recently that creationists cannot make predictions. And we love that because that sent so many people to Google searching for creation science predictions. And guess what outreach is number one on the search results? It's right here at Real Science Radio in our list of creation science predictions, so many of which have been confirmed. And on our YouTube channel, we have our global flood and hydroplate theory video. On our Real Science Radio playlist, the comments below the video are so different than most of YouTube. You know how vulgar everything can be and how rotten people often are to one another when you have controversial issues and people disagree? Well, the epitome of scientific learning, the elite of the intellectually elite, like the P.Z. Myers of the world and the Lawrence Krauses and so on, that whole community, they are as vulgar and filthy and hateful and mocking as could possibly be. So much so that a columnist in the New York Times pointed it out. And she said, when I started going to these science blogs by world-renowned evolutionists, I thought that I would find this erudite learning environment where the ideals would be lofty and the discourse would be sincere and thought-provoking. And it's like every other sentence references human waste or genitals, every other sentence. And so we have documented that also without the examples. And we have the link to that column. And it's on our website, rsr.org/vulgar. So whenever there's a comment by an atheist and it's vulgar, we've trained them that you can't get a comment through onto the Real Science Radio playlist if it's filthy. And so we use two different URL redirects, either rsr.org/vulgar or rsr.org /filthy, and we say, your comment was not approved because of rsr.org/filthy. But we edited out your cuss words, and here's the essence of what you argued, and then we'll respond. So the discussion beneath our science videos is somewhat elevated, and it's interesting. And we approve the comments of those who hate us and who disagree with us if they're actually being substantive and engaging on the topic. It's interesting, and I'd like to share just a few of those comments and replies with you in a few minutes, especially a Dunross B, who 2 days ago asked under our Global Flood video, where the conversation was talking about creationists making science predictions, he asked, what testable predictions does creationism make? So, hey, that's a good question, and I replied. So I'd like to share that with you in a moment, but we have so many more predictions that we want to make, and so many existing predictions that we'd like to do more research to see if they've been confirmed. Because as you understand God's word and you study his creation, which glorifies him, when people study the works of God with a humble spirit, they are glorifying God. So the quote that's been attributed to Johann Kepler, that we are thinking God's thoughts after him, this is true. And even atheists do it as they begin to understand how the universe functions, but they don't attribute those insights to God. As Albert Einstein pointed out repeatedly, we shouldn't be able to figure anything out because it should all be entirely unintelligible. How could it be that the universe is intelligible? Why should the laws of physics be beautiful and be comprehensible? How could it be that a beautiful equation like E equals MC squared actually explains the cosmos? How could that be? And what a great question. And he could not answer the question because of his presupposition of materialism, methodological naturalism. He was an atheist. Now, I know Christians, some like to say that Einstein believed in God. They quote Einstein. But Einstein believed in Spinoza's God, as he pointed out, which is nature. He just occasionally would personify nature or deify nature. And God doesn't play dice with the universe. In other words, the laws of nature must have a reason and some kind of determinism. So he didn't like quantum mechanics, for example. But the reason he could never comprehend, and many other scientists too who've been atheists, and they've noticed that their equations, you know, like the equation for entropy, the reason they could not comprehend why the equations were beautiful is because they never knew the beauty of the Creator. So God, in his mind, God, like an architect, designs a building before then that design is implemented and it's actually built. God designed the creation. And so he did this. This is an intellectual exercise. So first, he conceived of the formulas and how beautiful and how perfect it would be if energy equaled mass. And the C squared, that's a conversion factor, sort of like from feet to inches in a way. And so God conceived of E equals MC squared, and then he created the universe. He implemented that, bringing into existence the physical cosmos, intentionally making energy equal to matter. And that's why it's perfect. That's why when you figure out how energy equals matter, it's not some ugly and horrific equation. It's beautiful. And so, of course, there are constraints. And once God puts his design here and his design there and his design there, as it's been pointed out by a Nobel Prize winning physicist, there are three completely different ways of accurately describing subatomic physics, quantum mechanics. Three totally different ways. And even that, this is Feynman, Richard Feynman. And it's so perplexing to the person who doesn't know the triune God of the Bible. Why should there be three completely different ways of looking at subatomic particles and accurately describing how they function? I mean, why should that be? But it's because the triune God imprinted himself on the creation. And Fred Williams and I, we've done that show that we love, Real Science Radio, brought to you by the number three. And the astounding ways that the creation and human beings, ourselves, are imprinted with the number three. And so we Christians can recognize what Galileo pointed out centuries ago, that God wrote two books. He wrote two books. He wrote the scriptures, and he wrote the book of the cosmos. For example, that includes your DNA. The DNA, the genetic letters and words within every cell in your body. Except for your red blood cells, right? They don't have a nucleus. But God wrote that with his own hand, so to speak. The way he carved the Ten Commandments in stone for Moses, God wrote the DNA, the human genome, in Adam. He wrote it. And then when he made Eve from Adam, he took that genome that he put in Adam and he modified it for women, for Eve, the mother of all living human beings. When we study molecular biology, we're studying the works of God. When we study astronomy, astrophysics, we're studying the works of God. When we study paleontology, we're studying the judgment of God. And this is true throughout all the scientific disciplines, so that the better we know God's word and the more carefully we study the works of his hands, the creation, the better we as Christians are able to understand the cosmos, the world around us, biology. And so we should be able to make predictions with far greater accuracy and regularity than our atheist cousins. We should be able to do that. And so 2 weeks ago, some Christian radio program makes a prediction about the flyby of asteroid Florence, saying that it probably has one or two moons, maybe a debris field following it and in front of it that it's catching up to. So we make this prediction, and 5 days later, NASA results are out. The whole world, telescopes everywhere, were pointed at this asteroid 4.4 million miles away. And the science headlines screamed their finding, asteroid Florence has two moons. Two moons. And that goes toward confirming another of our standing predictions about comets and asteroids. And that's because we understand how comets and asteroids formed, and NASA does not. So NASA is mystified with each subsequent discovery, while these discoveries confirm dozens of specific predictions of creation scientists. It's just beautiful. And so we have another prediction. It's astronomy. Well, if it's about the moon, it's still astronomy, right? Even though the moon is so close to us, it's almost like you could reach up and touch it. Well, we have. Men have gone up there and touched it. I know there are some flat earthers who think the moon doesn't exist. It's a projection of the government, probably the NSA. From before there was an NSA. In fact, from before there was an America. In fact, from like the beginning of human history, they must have had really advanced technology back during the Middle Ages when they were able to project a moon up there. Isn't that something? And then in August, when what happened? They used their projection to block out the sun. That was really quite an accomplishment. So how absurd, right? And so the Flat Earth Society, which is headed up by Daniel Shenton, if you recall, he is an evolutionist, he's a Darwinian, and all the folks who believe the Earth is flat, you realize it's not just a perspective, right? It's a diagnosis. When people say that the world is flat, that's a diagnosis that they are mentally ill. It's a shortcut. You don't even have to go see a psychiatrist. Somebody tells you they believe the earth is flat so that you know two things. You know that they have paranoid schizophrenia. They are paranoid. Now, is the government evil? Yes, the government's evil. Can you believe everything the government tells you? No, you can't believe everything the government or anyone tells you, for that matter. Not even me. If only we could know the mistakes we made on Real Science Radio, I think I'd like to pay $1,000 per important mistake, if I could. But how do you? And we did that for years, by the way, on Bob and Yurt Live. If we made a mistake that someone in the audience could correct, we had a standing offer. If you were in a city that we aired in, when I got there, I would take you out to dinner at a steakhouse, or if it's, you know, a woman, her and her husband out to dinner. Unlike Bill O'Reilly, who would repeatedly flirt with the women guests, and if they were young and pretty, he would invite them out to dinner on the air. He's supposed to be married, isn't he? And whether they're married or not, he doesn't care. He flirted with them on the air. He flaunted the sexual harassment on the air. And it finally caught up to him in paying millions of dollars to a number of different women. And the one who finally got him kicked off the air, what was her name? Wendy Walsh. She didn't even ask for any money. She just went public with what happened. So that's what we would do to try to find out what mistakes we're making. So no, of course you can't believe everything the government tells you, but that doesn't mean the moon is a projection. And it doesn't mean that the earth is not a sphere. You see, you cross over into mental illness. So we made a prediction on Real Science Radio. It's on our predictions page about the moon. And we're currently researching that prediction to see if we could call it confirmed. And perhaps we can. It looks like we can, and it's rather extraordinary. Perhaps we'll have to call it a retrodiction, but it will be like many other predictions we've made here on Real Science Radio, Fred Williams and I. It will be unique to this broadcast, and it will be based on our understanding of the global flood and the hydroplate theory. And it will be fun if this one is confirmed. In fact, we're writing it up and we could submit it to the creation journals, but we're considering submitting it to some of the secular science journals. Now, you're only supposed to submit to one journal, and then you wait 2 or 3 years until they decide to tell you they're not going to publish it, and then you submit it to another journal. And by the time you retire, you might find out nobody wants to publish your paper. So that system is a bit awkward and it's somewhat understandable, but I don't think it'll work for this. I have to figure out a way around that. What if we skirt the rules and submit it to all of them? No, there's too many. There's like 4,000 of them. Can't afford the postage. But the research we're doing for this prediction of the moon, and because we understand some of the movement of the moon, our own moon, better than the secular astronomers, because they don't understand the origin of the moon. They don't understand how the impacts on the moon occurred, when they occurred. And because of that, they don't understand some of the motion of the moon. You know, the moon doesn't just face us perfectly. It rocks back and forth a bit. We have had a Monday night video conference, a conference call, going back, it wasn't video originally, but going back more than a decade. And this is a team of Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio researchers, graphic designers, web designers, software programmers, writers. And over the years, we've produced many resources. I'll name just a few for you. But we've produced resources like youngearth.com. Now, we have our Real Science Radio, right? RSR.org, that lists our hundreds of science shows and wonderful graphics and images and charts and backup documentation, and our lists, our wonderful lists of not so old things and all the other classic Real Science Radio lists. So we have rsr.org, but for younger people who are just curious, we created this Monday night research team. We created youngearth.com. It's a good domain name, youngearth.com. So when people Google Young Earth, quite often they find youngearth.com and they go on it. You could do it right now while you're listening to the show. And it's nice to look at. It's a comfortable page designed to attract the eyes of younger people. And the information in it, there's only a relatively small amount of information in discrete bytes. There's only so much. Each piece of information comes with pretty pictures, right? It just looks nice. So that's one of the resources built by our Monday night team. Another is the exceptionscalculator.com. When a politician says, "I'm pro-life with exceptions," and then you take his exceptions, and it sounds like he wants to stop all abortion, but he only believes in killing a few children. That's what it sounds like. And so you put in the exceptions calculator, it's dynamic. You put the politician's name, you put his jurisdiction, you know, is it state, is it federal? You put his policies, you check them off. What are his exceptions? And then how long will he be in office? What is his term? Past, present, future. You put that in there. And then it calculates for you how many children that he advocates killing by his own policies. Forget about Roe v. Wade. What is his own view? And exceptionscalculator.com, Christians have used it and they've been horrified, because the politicians that they could swear were pro-life shouldn't swear. Those politicians, it turns out, they supported killing hundreds of thousands or millions of children by their own policies, by their own exceptions. Hundreds of thousands or millions of children killed. That equates to mass murder. And that was your guy. That wasn't the other guy. I understand if the other guy's guy supports killing the masses. But when your candidate does that, you got to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, am I doing something wrong here?" So that's another resource created by our team, exceptionscalculator.com. Then there's prolifeprofiles.com. You know, the Mormon Church, they say they're pro-life. Well, go to prolifeprofiles.com and look at the profile for the Mormon Church. It's shocking to many people, not to us. Our team produced this resource. And there are many, many profiles of people and groups that claim to be pro-life on there. It will shock you. Don't read National Right to Life's profile. It will make you physically ill. Don't read that. But then American Right to Life's website, the team created that, and it's basically an abolitionist, personhood, anti-abortion think tank. That's what American Right to Life is, and that's what their website is, addressing all the major issues from a Christian biblical perspective with all the latest science. It's just an amazing website, AmericanRTL.org. And then, of course, there's Real Science Radio, rsr.org, and all the tools there. So this team has accomplished a lot. The reason I'm talking about it is because we have determined to somewhat reorient the Monday night video conference team to help the telethon and to grow the team and to invite you to participate if you would like to. Now, it is an education. If you ask anyone who has been involved with this over the years, any number of these men and women have said to me, "Bob, when I started, I never dreamed of the education that I was going to get." This one guy, Tommy M., says, "Utterly fascinating. I learned so much. I've always believed this other theory. Now with this video and its evidence and the logic, they've convinced me of the global flood and the hydroplate theory." And then someone responding to him saying, "Great video, great stuff to learn. Creation science is the holy grail of learning. I learn more now each year of my life than I learned in the first 18 years. But that's neat. Obviously, that's a young guy, right? To reference the first 18 years. But the guys on the research team, we all together learn so much. So here's what we are doing. We are opening up this video conference to anyone who would like to participate with a fee. It's $20 per week. So $20 a week. And this is on Google Hangouts. So if somebody can't get on Google Hangouts, it's like Skype. Then I'm sorry, you can't do it. We'd love to have you, but you can't do it. But it's easy to get on Google Hangouts if you have a cell phone or a computer. You just sign up for a free Gmail account and you click on Google Hangouts and that's it. And then you're part of the team. And Monday evening, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 Mountain Time, Monday nights, I will initiate the call. I will be hosting the call. And over the last years, we've had one of the other teammates host the call. But with this change, I will host the video conference call. So I'll be inviting you, and you get the invite and you click, and now we're all looking at each other and talking to each other from around the country. And even we have people join internationally on our team over the past years. And we will go through the existing research projects for Real Science Radio. And many people over the years have thought, and I know because they tell me, I'd like to do that with you guys, but I'm not really qualified. And we know, I know that they are qualified, because what you need to be able to do is use a bit of common sense, and you have to know how to read. And it helps to be able to Google. People used to say, I'm a researcher. Now they just Google. So you Google. Sometimes we ask who on the team could watch this video. It's on YouTube. Or we purchase the video. We'll send you a DVD. Who could watch this video and look for certain information and jot down a few notes while you're watching it? Who would like to read this book? Who would like to read these two chapters out of this book? Who would like to go through this website and look for information about XYZ? And there's all different topics, all different kinds of research projects across all different disciplines. They're not all astronomy. They're not all about dinosaur bones. They're not all about biology. They're not all about physics. They're all different topics that we discuss together, and then we break them up into bite-sized pieces, and we say, okay, now here's what we'd like to get done this week, this month. Who would like to work on which part of this? And then some people say, hey, I'd like to write this up. Once we get the information, I'd like to write up a paragraph or a page, and we post it on Real Science Radio. So when Fred Williams and I cover that topic, we've got the write-up, and it's really phenomenal. Also, over the years, we've had people tell us that, well, I'd like to help, but I'm just not qualified. I can't do it. But what's interesting, we realized that when people are paying their own way, that suddenly they'll feel qualified. Like, I'm paying for a seat at the table. I would like to be there, and if I can, I want to help. But then also, when you sign up for this, $20 a week, and you could cancel anytime, once a month, at the beginning of each month, we process your credit card. And if you sign up, we count that toward the telethon goal as $1,000. We count it as $1,000 because the months of the year, they have 4 or 5 Mondays. So it's $80 or $100. Maybe we average it out so it's the same every month of the year. And multiply that by 10 or so. And, you know, it's about $1,000 toward the telethon goal. And we could also begin covering more territory as we get more people working, sort of like in the back office here at Real Science Radio. So you will get the links to the Real Science Radio folders and documents that are not available to the public. So you'll be able to see what we're working on. what our schedules are, what's coming up, which of our list shows are pending. And then also, this idea will help in another area. Over 25 years now, people have come forward and they said they'd like to help out. They'd like to know, what can we do? And leave and come in the studio if they're in the Denver area. And we'll train them for 4 or 5 weeks. And that's a big investment of time and energy. And it's an emotional investment, too, because you become friends with the person. And then something changes in their life. Their schedule at work changes, or they get engaged. One guy got engaged, and you know, now that he's married and they have a beautiful family, just fabulous kids, wonderful homeschool family. But I started calling him Lover Boy because he got engaged, and then all of a sudden he's not available to do anything. And of course, we were thrilled for him. And he said to me, "Don't call me Lover Boy." And he was a man's man, you know, big, tough guy. So I had to stop calling him Lover Boy. But over the years, I would say certainly over 100 times, we would work with someone, train someone, and then it absolutely fine. Their circumstances changed and they can't help. And it got to the point where it's a little bit difficult just to train somebody to be a part of the team. Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking this person, they won't be there. But so we realized this is also a way to solve that problem. When everybody who wants to participate realizes that they're putting in something and they're getting something out of it. And what we all get out of it is it's an incredible education. We get the fellowship and the camaraderie of working on projects together and seeing them through to completion, and how thrilling that is. Later in the fall, I'll be going to a half a dozen national parks with Dr. Walt Brown and other creation leaders. And what an honor that is. What an absolute honor that is. And every time I get the chance to go to a creation conference, I go and I develop the relationships that are available to me. And it is astounding what we can accomplish together, far more than we accomplish when we work alone. And we get more done when we don't care who gets the credit. I tell you, you know who learned that lesson a long time ago? The folks over at American Right to Life. They have accomplished so much and they have taught so many, and they don't care if other people come along, pick up the mantle and get all the credit. They just don't care. And I love that about American Right to Life. This team, I mean, we've been going for all these years and our audience knows almost nothing about the Monday Night Research Team. Almost nothing. But it's been there developing all these resources all this time, working in the background. Basically, it's like working in the back office here at Real Science Radio. We've got our studio and then we've got the offices that are attached. It's like that. And of course, once we get to know you, if you're in the Denver area, you come to visit, come on, come out to a recording, come to the studio. Because over time, you become friends. You can't help it. You know, friends are the enemy. The more friends you have, the less you can get done, it seems. In this case, it's a team coming together on a weekly basis with a vision of better understanding God's creation and taking that information and making it palatable so that folks around us, some can come to the Lord and others can have their faith strengthened. So I know I said I wanted to share some of these comments at our Real Science Radio YouTube channel. Let me just share this one and then we'll close the show. But this Don Ross B asks, 2 days ago, he asks, what testable predictions does creationism make? So I answered, and this is under our global flood video in the comments. So I said, Don Ross, thanks for asking. Over at our website at rsr.org predictions, you can find scores of testable predictions we have made and many of those that have been confirmed marked. And then I list for Don Ross half a dozen of the most extraordinary predictions. like the Hubble Deep Field images, where creationists, here on Real Science Radio, we accurately predicted what Hubble would find, which confounded the astronomers at NASA because it was the opposite of what they expected. And if you have any questions about that, just go to our Big Bang page, rsr.org/Big Bang. You will absolutely love it. It will blow your mind. And then our prediction about the kind of bacteria that they would find in Antarctica in Lake Vostok, a couple miles below the ice, confirmed, and against the assumptions of the evolutionist. And our prediction about junk DNA made on national TV against a PhD anti-creationist scientist who made the opposite prediction. She was wrong. We were right. And they go on and on and on. Even the out of Babel predictions confirmed by the massive study of Egyptian mummies. Remember that earlier this year? And our September 1st prediction that asteroid Florence would have one or even two moons. And sure enough, NASA says asteroid Florence has two moons. And that's because we creationists, we know, those of us who study the fountains of the great deep, we know how asteroids and comets formed. NASA doesn't. So the things that shock them and contradict the predictions of their theory are confirmations of the book of Genesis and our creationist understanding of history, of the creation, and of the judgment of the global flood. And the predictions go on and on. And we have a huge one pending about our own moon. And if this one turns out to be true, it'll be thrilling. So to help with the telethon and to participate on our Monday night video conference call for our science research, and at times we get into a few other topics. So if you're not all about science, you don't even have to let that stop you, because there are opportunities for everyone that would like to help. You either call us at 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278, and say, I'd like to be a part of Bob's monthly research team. It's Monday night, 7:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Or you could email me, bob@rsr.org, and just say, Bob, I'd like to help. Here's my name and here's my phone number, and we'll contact you. If you would like to help, but you don't want to be on the team, I encourage you to call or go to our website to donate, a one-time donation or a monthly donation, or you could subscribe to our sermons, our Bible study albums, our topical videos. Whatever you subscribe to, we hope and pray that you'll love it. Virtually everyone loves it. Or you could purchase any of these resources just as a one-time purchase to help out. So for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio, this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Talking about